Greetings, podcast listeners. Welcome back. This is your host, Indra, with Aikido Talks. Hello, my dear friends. It's been a minute. Today, we're going to do something a little special. I have a book with the title, Art of the Samurai, Japanese Arms and Armor, 1156 to 1868. I believe I might have purchased it at the library because if those of you who were in New York City years ago, there was an amazing exhibit at the Met. And of course, for all of us martial arts enthusiasts, you go there and you check these things out. And there was one particular section of this exhibit where they talked about the helmets and each one having these very interesting ornate designs on them, which was so fascinating. So that's where I'm thinking I brought this book from the gift shop, because there's a whole section I have here, but I'm only going to read only portions of it. And because we're listening, I'm going to do my best to describe through the small snippets here. The other part of this podcast is just basically just sort of talking, you know, just adding a quick note about leaving it off the mat, leaving your stuff off the mat. So let's start with that, and then we'll go on with the helmets. And how does it correlate to off the mat? So a lot of us martial arts, and I'm sure it happens in across the board with a lot of the training, and it's done on purpose so that we can hone our craft. Which is, once you start on the mat, you bow into the mat, you leave all of your junk off the mat, because then you can't focus and learn with body, mind, spirit combined. Or you can get hurt if you are bringing other things, distractions that don't have to do with Aikido on the mat. You know, I tell practitioners all the time who are new that you come in, it's like this is your laboratory. This is your, that's what training is all about. You are, you know, polishing your craft, your spirit. And this can be carried off the mat as well and work in your work world, you know, wherever it's critical or non-critical. Maybe if you do hobbies or you do things that you are passionate about and you notice how focused you are, you lay the playing field for yourself, you spread it out, whether it be writing or painting or a sport of any kind. And I'm distinguishing the difference between sport and martial arts. Okay, so martial arts are martial arts. You are polishing and it's ongoing and it's something that becomes your lifestyle so that you can be protected all the time, but you're also becoming, you're working to being a higher being. And the sport, sure, you can probably implement those things, but it's opposite, that once you finish the sport, that's it, you're taking a break. You're not living the being a pitcher, walking down the street and throwing things everywhere. You're not doing that. You may be doing other things to supplement that training if you're a professional, right? And that's just my quick spiel on that. There is a former podcast I did, an earlier podcast that talked about the difference based on one of the books I've read. And perhaps we will revisit that once again. But bringing it to the workplace, let's say that, you know, how does that work? Leaving it off the mat into the workplace, leaving it outside the workplace. What it means is pretty much the same parallel. Like you have a job to do that you're paid to do. You have your work hours. Within that work hour situation, you focus intrinsically on the work at hand. And what that can do right away is that you start to realize certain things. Like, for example, you change how you do the work. If you are able to craft a special way that you actually execute your job, that can be a great benefit instead of being an automaton where you just follow what someone says. I think that's the worst thing in the world as a human being. As a human being, we should be interacting, and that comes with respect. no matter who you're working with or for, or who is working for you, that you have a relationship that is there and that encompasses the time, place, and station and all of these things. So how do we see that in the martial sense? Well, in the martial sense of, you know, maybe not in terms of martial, but more or less growing in an upward motion of understanding and of increasing efficiency. And not efficiency in that you're going to become more of a robot. No, efficiency in such that perhaps you can derive more joy out of what you're doing because you're using more of your brain and your thoughts of how you can enhance this, that can enhance how you do it. Maybe that can create more time for yourself to actually think about what am I doing? And leaving space to think about what you're doing, but also discovering new things that you have not seen before, or having the time to take to look at it at a different angle. Yes, and that includes taking a break during your day. You take a break, take your lunch break, you eat, you nourish your body, mind, and your spirit. Take a walk, take breaks throughout the day, and be present. When you're not present, and this is something we always do on the mat, there could be a number of things that happen. You miss the lesson, you get injured, or you injure someone else, or you become frustrated and not understand or be out of touch with your feelings and feel like you. And you know, that comes with chattering. And a lot of times they don't want you to chatter on the mat because that is a huge distraction. You could be showing up all the time and then wonder, oh, I've got to go and get surgery because my body is acting out. Why is it? It's not one thing or the other, but it's a self-discovery of why are these things happening. Anyway, going back to the central focus of focus, these are what you can do outside and off the mat. So my dear friends, we're going to take a break and then we're going to conclude this episode with some of the descriptions of these amazing samurai helmets, and we'll be right back. So as promised, we are concluding this episode with a little bit of the readings of the art from the book, The Art of the Samurai, Japanese Arms and Armor, 1156 to 1868. Let's see, who was the author of it? Oh yes, I am so silly. Yes, it is from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. And yes, I purchased this book from the gift shop there, from that exhibit, as I love armor and the tools of the trade of the samurai. So I am going on page, for those who might have this book, please buy a book and then add it to your library. You know, have it as a reference. But it's beautiful. These pictures are gorgeous. I'm on page 106 and I'm going to end on page 113. Here we go. Number 41, black lacquered kabuto, which is helmet, with the arm of a guardian deity wielding a vajra. Okay, it's the Edo period, 17th century, iron, lacquer, wood, and paper mache of outer bowl. This powerful helmet, if you can envision it, so the picture is, it's all black. And it's like a, you know, sort of like a reverse cone, but at the tip of it is a fist holding a vajra, which is, as we'll see what that is. I'll explain that in a minute. This powerful helmet represents the arm of Kongo Rikishi, a Buddhist guardian deity who is grasping a kongosho or a vajra, with between 1 and 9 prongs. The 5-pronged vajra seen here is called the gokusho, a ritual instrument of mikyo or esoteric Buddhism. The vajra itself is made of wood covered in gold leaf and is considered to have been added at a later date. The inner part of the helmet is a six-plate shinari, acorn-shaped bowl. The outer part is built up in black lacquered paper mache and has 9 ridges, representing 10 sinews. Yes, I can see it. Look at that. You know, against the arm. The brow is embossed with eyebrows and wrinkles. So it does have at the edge of the cap, you do see eyebrows in a furrowed ridge, which is part of the forehead. And then I'm guessing that this helmet will cover that part of the head. The design of this otherworldly piece stands out even among the many surprising forms often taken by Kawari Kabuto, exotic helmets. Kawari Kabuto, exotic helmets. With its powerful arm, large hand, and grip brimming with strength, the helmet seems to have been designed specifically to inspire fortitude in samurai living in a time of war. So the Vajra, if that sounds familiar to you, you'll see that word come up in, they mentioned Buddhism, you know, the Indian text, Sanskrit, and I'm believing, and please correct me if I'm wrong, and, you know, put it in the comments of what you think about this episode, a thunderbolt, you know, but this one here, it seems to be the same shape on either side of this fist. The fist is holding the Vajra in the middle. So from what I remember, I believe it's a thunderbolt, you know, or, you know, an arrow, but a thunderbolt, some power. Okay, I'm going to skip around. And I like this one. Kabuto helmet in the shape of open clamshells with purple lacing. Edo period, 17th to 18th century, iron, lacquer, silver, gold, silk, and wood. And let's see. Iwakuni Art Museum, Yamaguchi Prefecture. On the sides of the black lacquered helmet bowl are wakidate, side crests, modeled to resemble two large open clamshells. The shell interiors are covered in gold leaf and face outward. It looks like two big ears. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's clearly a clamshell, but they look like two big ears facing outward, creating a striking effect against the black lacquered base. The shikoro, neck guard, comprises 3 rows of itazane, gold solid plates representing overlapping scales, laced with purple in the sugake style, in which double parallel rows of laces are spaced at intervals. The first row extends to form the fukigaeshi, the parts of the guard that are turned back at front, which bear silver Paulownia Mon insignia. Very good. Let's see. Let's move over because we want to end with a particular one that I like, that I think everyone can resonate with. We move on to... this one is great. Kabuto helmet in the shape of a crab for all the Cancerian people out there, with pale blue lacing. This is an amazing one. Edo period, 17th to 18th century, ironwood, gold, silk, and paper mache, Iwakuni Art Museum, Yamaguchi Prefecture. The black lacquered zunari head-shaped helmet bowl is shaped like the shell and legs of a crab. 2 large gold wooden claws raised in a threatening gesture project out as maedate, forecrests, at the sides of the brim. The claws are covered in gold leaf and have skillfully worked sawtooth edges, joints, and pointed spines. The black lacquered 3-row shikoro neck guard has pale blue lacing. Beautiful. Let's move to the next page and to the last. We will conclude with this one. Kabuto helmet in the form of a cap with a dragonfly and iris with pale blue lacing. Edo period, 17th to 18th century, iron, copper, gold, lacquer, and silk of helmet bowl. Iwakuni Art Museum, Yamaguchi Prefecture. The helmet bowl is shaped like a mosu, a type of cap worn by monks, and comprises a six-plate bowl over which are fixed four sheets of iron. The maedate forecrest is shaped like a dragonfly. Beautiful dragonfly on top of this. While the ushirodate rear crest, ushirodate rear crest, is modeled in the form of five long narrow leaves of the barin, a type of iris. The dragonfly was particularly admired among the samurai because when it hunts, it flies directly forward, never deviating in its path, and was therefore known as Kachimushi, victorious insect. The fukigaeshi, the portions of the neck guard that are turned back at the front, have mon insignia of swallow-tailed butterflies and gold maki-e. And that, my dear friends, ending with the victorious insect of the dragonfly, let's keep in mind and carry on the rest of our week with direct focus and fortitude. And may we have the best times this week, and that we may grow upward and forward in all of our endeavors of success and peacefulness. Thanks again for joining me at this wonderful episode, and I look forward to our continuing and being together in our next episode of Aiki Talks. Until next time.